summer, I'm a doom, I'm a you assuming I'm a human. What I gotta do to get it through to you, I'm superhuman, innovator, rebel, so they anything.
That's the rap god.
Oh, hey.
That makes us the raptor gods.
Hey, I'm not mad at it. I'm not mad at it.
I'm just saying we need something. I just want to jump. How you doing? First of all, Jalen, you good?
I'm good. Yeah, you know, another day, another grind.
All right. It's the 6 degrees north. I like to call it the Fluent and Carter effect.
Hey, I like that.
I'm stealing it a little bit. I'm not gonna lie, but we had a rough night last night as the Toronto Raptors lost. Sorry, I'm getting choked up. Lost by 41.
It was rough. It was rough.
To the Pelicans. That was brutal. Is that what we're going to see for the rest of the season?
It was just, it was a bad night to have a bad game. I definitely think we're better than this. Letting Trey Murphy go off for 34 points, a little ridiculous. Herb Jones was getting buckets on us. He's a defensive guy. Brandon Ingram was on cruise control, you know, chilling. So, I mean, it was just a rough night all around, really. We just couldn't get it together. I still think quickly, like when he was on the court, I like what he did. Showed the energy still creating for his teammates. But just again, a bad night to have a bad game. It happens. You know, it happens to every team. Every team gets blown out by 30, 40, 25. Well, not 40, but, you know, 25, 30-point blowouts. It happens. Not mad at it. Obviously, you know, with the Barnes situation, him not playing, definitely going to hurt. But we won't be this bad. We won't be this bad.
So I pulled this up. I pulled this up just to show. Listen, we knew when Scottie Barnes got injured, had surgery to repair the fracture in his left hand, that the Raptors were going to take a step back. We're not surprised. I was not aware, I don't know if you were, that Scottie Barnes led the team in rebounds, points, assists, steals, and blocks.
I was not aware he was leading in all five of the major statistical categories. That's actually nuts. That's very Kevin Garnett-esque, LeBron-esque sort of. That's pretty crazy. Did not see that one coming.
I was shocked. I knew that he was leading in a few of these. I had no idea it was all five. And so here's where we are today. I think if the Raptors were in a position to either make the playoffs, we're already in a playoff position. I don't think he has the surgery. I think he plays through it. Do you agree, disagree? What do you think?
I do think that's true in the sense of players when you're in a real kind of, if you're in a contender situation or you're going to make the playoffs, he will definitely play through it. I just think he understands this season. I think for him, maybe he had a conversation with the team management, you know, his agent himself, like, all right, we understand you're a future building piece. Let's not risk any further injury to that situation, because they understand even if they do make the play, and I don't think they expect to make it that far into the playoffs anyways, even with the playing situation.
Oh, yeah. Like, that's what I'm saying. I don't think they say, hey, let's keep you in and try to make the 10. I'm saying if they were in third.
They're in third? Yeah. He's pushing it.
That's what I'm saying. If they were in the playoffs and they were like a contending team, he wraps that up and they keep playing, right?
For sure. 100%.
So what do you think happens down the stretch then? So we know obviously he's gone for the season. Mm-hmm. There's some other people who are going to now get an opportunity to play, good or bad. They're going to get an opportunity. Is this a team that, you know, they go 500 down? There's what, 20 some odd games left, 20, 22 games. Is it 500 down the stretch? Is it 5-15 down the stretch? What's your take on what we're going to see from them the rest of the season?
I think they're probably going to be closer to the 5-15 realm. And I mean, if you look at the teams ahead of them, they're probably going to be worse than everybody, like Nets, Atlanta, Bulls, Pacers, Philly. They're going to be worse than them, but they're going to be better than the Hornets. They might not be better than the Hornets over the last stretch.
Are they going to be better than the Hornets?
Yeah, the Hornets, that'd be a close one. Both those teams will be in the 5-15. You know, maybe one of them will be 7-13, but they'll definitely be better than the Wizards and Pistons, I think. But yeah, they'll definitely be bottom of the East, probably finish again third last or fourth last there. They still have a decent lead on the Hornets in terms of the games. But yeah, I think we got to say goodbye to the whole play-in situation. I think that's definitely not happening now.
And there was a time that, you know, we thought this could be a play-in team. This could be, you know, and if at worst case scenario, they wanted to win enough games so that they gave this year's draft pick to San Antonio, because this, everyone's saying this is a weak draft, and hey, let's keep our draft for next year because that's a better draft class. Well, it looks like we're getting this year's draft pick, right? That's where we're
trying. Yep. Oof. And when it comes to the draft, I understand next year's draft is definitely going to be stronger, but it's still a lot of time you are kind of shooting darts at the draft out of even with all the, you know, all the analysis, all the tape you go watching. It's still, you know, shooting darts in the sense you really never know what happens. So, hey, maybe they can get a Dillingham. I'm not mad at that if they can get a Dillingham if he's still on the board there. There'll be some guys who I think they'll still be able to take who could still help this team. So,
yeah, for a team that has drafted Rafael Arujo, yep, Andrea Bargnani, Bruno Caboclo, Caboclo, whatever that guy's name was, right? Like, it maybe doesn't matter when and where you pick. So I'm told that Allen Iverson does nothing better than Steve Nash. Is that factual, Jalen?
I mean, I think Steve Nash does more things better than Allen Iverson, other than maybe getting to the rim. I'm not sure there might not be anything Iverson does better than Steve Nash. Chat. We got to keep you honest. As a shooter, even as a scorer, I understand Iverson had the volume. You give Steve Nash that volume, I think he's probably going to be a more efficient scorer.
Nash was definitely more efficient.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, it was definitely more efficient scorer. Any takeaways before we're going to move on? We've got a few topics today. We're going to talk all time. We're going to debate our all time starting five Raptors. So you're going to pick a team. I'm going to pick a team. We're going to talk about the best and worst free agent signings in Raptors history. But anything up from last night's game that stood out to you before we move on to that? What's up, Swish?
It stood out to me from last night's game. One, I just think the Pelicans are a very dangerous team. I actually think that team went healthy. No one wants to see them in the playoffs, but Zion, Ingram, CJ, and a guy like Herb Jones, Murphy, J-Val still doing his thing in the paint. That's a dangerous team, so good for them. In terms of Raptors, I really like Quickly. Quickly, even in a blowout, is showing me something. I'm really becoming a bigger fan of Quickly.
You know, they brought in Quickly and RJ Barrett to build around Scotty Barnes, and they're like, we still need a couple of pieces. Quickly's turning out to be like, this might be his team.
I think he's better than RJ Barrett. I think Quickly is better than RJ Barrett. I
agree, he's better than RJ Barrett. Does he become the, like, because I think he's more vocal than Scotty as well. Scotty might, as we saw there, leads the team in every single category. He might be that guy statistically. Yeah. But Quickly might be like more the vocal leader, the, you know, in that silly dance he does, but like everybody seems to love it.
Yep.
Is he going to be the leader of this team?
He definitely seems like a guy who could be the leader of the locker room. And I think as a player on the court, do I think he'll ever be better than Scotty Barnes? No. But in terms of leadership, like you said, a guy they'll look to, I could see him taking the last shot of game two over Scotty Barnes. I think he's definitely a buck again in that sense too. So he could definitely play a leadership role. And I think, again, Scotty's more of a, again, quality player. I've never looked at him as kind of a leader thing in the locker room. But, yeah, I think Quickly may definitely be that guy.
From a non-basketball perspective, yep, let me put that out there first because people are going to go nuts when they see this. No, from a non-basketball perspective, I see Barnes and Quickly the way I saw DeMar and Kyle. DeMar was the better player. Yep. Kyle was the leader of the team, right? Even though DeMar was better.
I like that.
Again, not their play styles, not anything else, but that's how I kind of see where things are going. All right. So the Scotty Barnes injury obviously is going to affect them. As I showed you, leads the team in all five major statistical categories. The other thing that the Raptors did, I want your take on this too. Kelly Olynyk signs a 2-year, $26 million deal. He was kind of brought in as part of that bigger trade. Good, bad, another Canadian signed to the roster. We've lost track of my guy, the Slim Duck. Is this the new Canadian center that we're going to have on the team for the next couple of years?
I mean, I think Kelly Olynyk, two years, $26 million, not going to be a crazy cap hit, so not mad at that. Maybe a vet, maybe help the younger guys adjust to NBA, you know, lifestyle. you know, how to take care of your body, how to train like a pro, that type of situation. Obviously not going to be a huge part of the future. It's only a 2-year deal, so I'm not mad at it. Probably not going to be competing at a high level for, you know, within the next 2 years. So won't be too much of an impact, I think, on the basketball court. He'll do what he does. But I think maybe off the basketball court, just teaching the young guys, maybe the young draft that comes in, really teaching them the NBA way. He can be helpful in that sense.
You know who they're going to draft this year, right?
No, who do you think the Raptors get?
Edie. I'm telling you, Canadian player of the year. He's going to be player of the year 2 years in a row at Purdue.
Where's he projected to go?
The reason he stayed this year is because last year he was projected to be second rounder undrafted. This year he came in as a second round pick, and he's been slowly creeping up because this kid can do everything except shoot threes. And I think to keep a 7'3", 7'2", 7'4" guy who can block shots, rebound, pass, and shoot from the mid-range and can hit free throws out because he doesn't shoot threes. And in today's NBA, all you want to do is shoot threes, I think is blasphemous. As Stephen A would say, egregious. It is preposterous. It is a abominably bad mistake. Like, what are... You don't get guys that big and say, well, they can do everything inside the 3-point line, but they can't shoot three, so we can't take them.
I just think Edie screams to me like I get it, those physical measurables, him at that height and the skill set. He just screams, great college player, won't translate to the NBA. I think he's slow footed. I understand he's a big dude, but the athleticism, he's just going to get blown by, especially on the switches. He's
slow footed? What do you consider the 2-time, going to be 3-time MVP Nikola Jokic?
We're not doing that. We're not comparing Jokic to anybody. I get it. I get it. Like Jokic, Luka, I think their skill sets are off the charts. Edie's, I don't think, is anywhere near that of Jokic. But again, I guess we didn't see this come with Jokic.
I'm not comparing skill set, but why don't you look up the scouting report when Jokic was drafted?
Oh no, it was nowhere near.
And look at what he did in the first 2 years. Now, I don't know what the hell did happen. And all of a sudden he became this guy. But at the end of the day, isn't it worth taking a chance when you have guys like Jokic in the league? When you have a guy like Wemby, who's going to be, you know, who's 7'9" and reaches 13 feet in the air without jumping. You're going to need some of those bigger bodies. And I think that is something that the Raptors have sorely lacked. And now it was on purpose the last few years when they did their whole like theory 6'9", where they wanted a bunch of 6'8", 6'9" guys with long wingspans, you know, all to be switchable. That flopped very quickly. And what have we always said? Well, they need a big. I feel like I've been hearing they need a big. Well, he's a big.
He's definitely a big dude. I mean, it depends. I mean, I don't think he's a top 10 pick.
Rebound?
Do you think he's a top? Do I think he can rebound? I mean, he'll get you rebound. I don't think he'll be a double-digit rebounder in the NBA. I don't know if he's built quite like
you
that.
You don't?
I think he might. I get he's 7'4", but I don't think he would be a double-digit rebounder.
I think he is an automatic 15-10 guy with like two blocks and 4 assists because he's a really good passer.
I think if you got a guy
who's 7'4", can give you 15, 10, 2 blocks, and 4 or 5 assists, you're not super happy with that as a big in today's NBA?
I just don't think he'd give you 15 and 10. I think he might give you 7-4 that first season. I think he might keep those at 8-5.
Big men take 3-4 years to develop. We're talking about, he's, you know, when he gets there, 15-10, not tomorrow. He's not going to come in and be Wemby and average, you know, 20-10 or whatever.
Lottery pick though? You would take him in a top 12?
No, ideally, no. Ideally, he would have been in the 20s and 30s, but you got to pick where you pick. And again, in a draft that isn't strong, to reach for a guy who's from Toronto, who I'm assuming, I have no idea, I'm assuming, wants to play here, which is always a part of an issue, who's not going to complain about the school system because he went to school here, who's not going to complain about the weather because he grew up here. He's not going to complain about only having two choices in mobile plans from Rogers and Bell because they both suck. No facts. He's not going to complain about that. He's not going to complain about Zed instead of Z, or that he doesn't get ESPN because he'll probably have that box like we have where he can watch ESPN. Like all those things that the guys that get drafted or get traded or signed here sometimes complain about or think or have the myth that it's horrible. He's not going to have any of those complaints. So I'm making that assumption. So you got another Canadian as his kind of backup in Kelly O to kind of help him show him the pro game. I think it's kind of a match made in heaven. Cause again, where would the Raptors draft? And maybe this is next show. Next show we'll dive into the draft and the picks. Yeah. Because when you look at who's going to get drafted ahead of him and after him, there's no surefire. There's no, person. Like we're going to have a surprise, right? If we think we looked back at a draft, Kobe's draft, mm-hmm. and in Kobe's draft, Ray Allen went, I want to say, 6th. Kobe went 13th. Mm-hmm. It might not have been we were talking about draft picks, but Kobe went 13th. Let's just put it that way. Kobe went 13th. Marcus Camby that we drafted was picked 2nd.
Yep.
Right. There's, you don't know. People thought Hashim Thabeet was going to be the guy.
Because he was 7-foot athletic, could block shots.
7-foot and athletic, where I'm like, I'd rather take the slow-footed. Every 7'4" slow-footed dude seems to be okay. Again, I'm not saying superstar. But I'm just saying if IQ is coming off a screen from him, right? Now, he's not popping out to the 3, but he can hit that 16-footer. That's a big body to give a screen on someone covering IQ. He's going to be wide open, or he's going to give Zach a nice little easy little mid-range jumper that he can hit, right? Mm-hmm. When you look at the other guy, like, is he going to have trouble with Sabonis? No. Is he going to have trouble banging with Bam? No. Like, just look at the lead. Look, can he keep up in the fast break with Giannis? No. But if you can slow them down and keep them in the half court, he's going to have no problem. Giannis has no post game. He has no outside shot. So that's a body that can at least make it difficult. I'm not saying stop him. He's not going to stop him. But he can slow him. So when I look through the league, like, give me any center in the league with the exception of the super duper elites, right? He'll be just fine in terms of his foot speed and being in position. And that's where the older guy comes in, right? Teaching him position and footwork. Because at the end of the day, you don't have to be fast to play defense. Like when Jokic tries, right? He's okay.
Yeah,
when he's okay. Mm-hmm. But he's not. Is again? I'm using the grades to prove a point. Is Luka athletic?
Yeah. No. Of course, no. 100%. You know what? No, cool. You definitely got me being more open to the ED pick.
I'm looking at the draft. The draft next week. We'll look at the draft next week. No problem. We'll look at the draft next week. So Kelly Olynyk, good deal, I think. Like I said, you said, Canadian veteran, kind of help everybody develop their stuff a little bit. Do you want to do the starting five, or do you want to do best worst free agents first?
Best worst free agents. Let's do the best worst free agents, I guess.
Okay. You want to start? Let's start with a negative, because that's what I like to do. Because,
we do not care.
We do not care. You go first. Worst signing.
The worst signing. Okay, I think one of the worst free agent signings for the Toronto Raptors. We're going to go with, man, I hate to do this because he was solid in Orlando. Hedo Turkoglu. I think Hedo Turkoglu was a guy in Orlando coming off of that. Hedo Turkoglu. I think a guy coming off Orlando, right? He was a great run with Orlando when he made that finals, really stepped up. Came to Toronto on a huge deal at the time, which I believe was 4 years, 50 something million, which at the time was a big deal, Chad. Obviously now nothing but time, big deal. And just was never the same player again. The mid-range fell off, the playmaking fell off, like nothing he did was better. He became a worse shooter, a worse patter. The defense just fell off a cliff, even though defense I think was always kind of hitting.
In fact, I remember saying this is an untradeable contract. He's so bad.
That's 100%.
You were able to trade him, but I think they traded him back to Orlando.
Yeah, I think that's the only team I was willing to because he had the best years there. Yep. So he
that is a very, very good one. I'm going even bigger superstar on mine. Because this is an all-time great, a top 10 player all time, the greatest international player ever to play in the NBA. And they had a huge press conference. I've got 75 pictures of their photo shoot that he did with our star player hugging and showing, and our star player, Mr. Vince Carter, wanted him here. And it was a huge deal. And this was going to be the person that took us
over the edge. Wow.
Hakeem, the dream, Olajuwon. Most people don't even remember that he was a Toronto Raptor until they probably saw the thumbnail for this episode. So I kind of gave away my answer when I did that. He came in with so much hype, and we all knew that was no way. And he was not the same guy. And he just did not. I want to give you just some numbers because, you know, I am a number guy, and I also look at notes, so I don't give a damn what you say about that. Because
I love notes. I love coming prepared. That's solid.
I have a bad memory. I'm old. So for his career, Olajuwon averaged 22-11. Okay. Now in Houston, clearly had better numbers. Like, I mean, at his peak, he was like 27-28 and like 13. In his year in Toronto, first of all, he only played 61 games, started 37 of them. No, he was 39 years old. And like, I know we see, you know, we see LeBron at 39 doing things, but that's the one person in the history of the world, right? That can be an NBA player at that age and do what he's doing.
Yeah.
No one else has ever done it. No one else is probably ever going to do it. So at 39 years old, he started 37 games, played 22 minutes a game, and he averaged a whopping 7 points, 6 rebounds, and 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block, 1.5 blocks. Like that, but you should have known because his last 2 years in Houston in 99 and 2000 or 2000, 2001, he was averaging 10-6. 11-6. That's who we were getting. We weren't getting 27-13.
The greatest defender of all time. We're not getting that.
Yeah, we were getting 7-10. Yeah. And that's what we got. We got that Hakeem Olajuwon. So that's my worst. My worst. So what's your best?
My best Toronto Raptor free agent signing. I just want to quickly add before the Hakeem situation. If that happened today, I think we'd all expect him to just kind of be that 10-6 guy. Why was it such a expectation that he would be a championship mover at that age coming to the Raptors? Because I've always thought, obviously, you lived through it, that it was just more so maybe Hakeem wanted to play an extra year. Maybe he wanted an extra, you know, year of getting some money in the NBA, which is fine. But people really thought he was going to change the foundation of the Raptors and make him a championship contender.
Yeah.
That was a real thought?
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's.
Yeah. Well, when you look at that team. Okay. Mm-hmm. So let's go back to that team.
Yep.
So that team in 2000, 2001, mm-hmm. okay, was 47-35. Lenny Wilkins is the head coach. They make it. That's the year. Don't forget, Vince Carter misses that last second shot against the Sixers, who end up going to the final. So in game seven. So what does this team need? So this is a team that consists of Muggsy Bogues. The rest is good, though. Vince Carter, Charles Oakley, Antonio Davis, Mark Jackson, although an older veteran. Alvin Williams was becoming kind of the starting point guard most of the time. Mo Pete, Kevin Willis, another veteran. Chris Childs. So this Corliss Williamson, Keon Clark, Jerome Williams, Del Curry, right? Steph's dad. This is when Steph is out there, if you remember, pregame shooting around in NBA threes. We should have known. So this is a veteran team with a 24-year-old superstar. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this team is they were one shot away from making the Eastern Conference final. What do they need? Well, we need that one more piece. And they looked at it and they said, hey, Antonio Davis, even although he was playing center, he's 32 years old. He's more of a power forward. We need a center. And even Charles Oakley's a power forward. There was no actual, you know, Kevin Willis was 38. There's no center on the team. Here's that guy. Olajuwon can come in and maybe not give us the 27 and 13, but maybe he's a 15 and 10 guy, right? Like that's yeah. kind of the, again, they find themselves in that situation all the time. We need a 15 and 10 guy. So the next year when, you know, he comes in, again, the roster is pretty much the same. It's still Vince Carter, Antonio Davis, Alvin Williams, Morris Peterson, Jerome Williams, the Junkyard Dog, shout out, Chris yeah. Childs, Del Curry. And then it's, hey, there's at the center position, it's Olajuwon, Eric Montross. It's a young backup. Mm-hmm. Montross, I think, not that young, he's 30. Yeah, I thought he was younger. He looked young with that shaved head. So that was the guy that was supposed to like take them from that to that, that leader, that champion, right? Because Rudy yeah. T told us never underestimate the heart of a champion. And we believed yeah. that team goes 42 and 40 and loses in five to the Pistons.
It makes sense. Losing in five to the Pistons, 4-40. Yeah, that's just crazy. I guess it was a different time with that expectation.
Right, like again, no one expected him to be MVP Olajuwon.
Of course.
But they what they said was, this is a team that was one shot away from the Eastern Conference Final. Bringing a guy like Olajuwon, right, mm-hmm. that championship mentality will take us over the top. But again, he only played. He missed yeah. 20 games. He only started half of those games that he played in. It was a 39-year-old Olajuwon. Like that.
Tough.
If it was 29, it was 29-year-old. We might have.
I don't know if he'd want to come here at 29 back in those days. I don't know if Toronto was the spot.
No, yeah, he. Do you know why he picked Houston?
But he was drafted there, no?
No. Well, before, why sorry.
Toronto, yeah.
Why college. Toronto? College. Do you know why he picked Houston?
No, why did he pick Houston?
So they flew him over from Nigeria, and he landed, I want to say, in New Jersey, because I think he was, I forget what school, Rutgers, I don't know, something, Syracuse, I don't know. It was one of these kind of northeastern schools. He got off the plane, goes, this is too damn cold. Jumped right back on the plane, and they flew him to Houston. And he's like, okay, this is more like what I'm used to. And so that's why he ended up playing in Houston. And then Houston ends up having the first overall pick, and they draft him. But yeah, it was strictly to do with weather. I don't think he was...
Toronto would be out of here. You see the snow? 100%.
I'm not coming.
Yeah.
Okay. So those are the worst. Any honorable mentions for the other worst?
Worst. Damari Carroll was a little more recent. I think he was a guy again coming off a great season with that kind of 60 win Atlanta Hawks team. Comes to the Raptors, not the 3-and-D guy they envision. Overpaid for him. I think he'll get an honorable mention as a bad free agent signing.
Do you know how much they paid for? I'm trying to think of some of their free agents that they didn't. We don't really sign a lot of.
We don't. We're just not that franchise. We got to trade for an elite guy. The free agent signings is it's rough.
I'll go through. I'll give you some. Who did you just say again? I want to make sure I don't repeat it.
Damari Carroll.
Oh, Damari Carroll. Oh yeah, Damari Carroll. Yeah. So okay. Do you remember Michael Stewart, Yogi Stewart?
Played in like the 97, 98? Yeah,
99. They signed him to a 6-year, $24 million deal, which was a lot of money back then. And the fact that no one really knows who he is tells you all you need to know. Skip to Malou. Remember Rafer Alston?
Hey, yep, Rafer.
Great, street baller.
Fun to watch, yeah.
Fun to watch. 6 years, $29 million. Did not pan out here. Jason Capono.
Now that's a guy in today's league.
Check this out. Jason Capono would be awesome in today's league. Just so you know, he was the first person prior to Damian Lillard this year to win back-to-back three-point contests.
Hey.
Little fun fact. Signed him to 4 years, $24 million. The only problem was all he could do was shoot three-pointers in a contest. Damari Carroll, as you mentioned, 4 years, $60 million. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Do you know who Linus Kleiza?
Linus Kleiza. The European, 100%, yep.
Yeah, played for my favorite team, Olympiakos, in Greece. Signed him to 4-year, $20 million. He did not move the needle. this one, Landry Fields.
Landry Fields.
3-year, $20 million. Not too bad. And then number one, 5-year, $53 million, your guy.
He do.
Oh, 5-year, $53 million. Damn.
That was a lot of money. Like I said, he was coming off that big finals. I think it was last year, the year before.
Yeah. No. Listen, they beat LeBron and the Cavs, and the Cavs were the number one seed in the NBA. Everybody had, the posters, Kobe versus LeBron in the finals. And Dwight Howard took that personal. Maybe Hedo took that personal too. They messed up. They messed that plan up. So those are the worst. Who's the best free agent signing?
So the best free agent.
I have a feeling this one.
Yeah, no, I want to show love to maybe my favorites are the best. I'm going to let you handle the best because I think we probably have the same name in mind, when I draft a sign. But give me a best free agent signing. Anthony Parker, silky smooth, EuroLeague MVP, comes to the Raptors, kind of starts right away, amazing from three. And this was a time when the three ball wasn't as enforced and pushed as it is today. So being an elite three-point shooter at that time was definitely, you could say, maybe a little bit more impressive. Incredible mid-range. And when we talk about a silky smooth jumper, I think Anthony Parker had that. Like that mid-range for Anthony Parker, cash every time, played hard, gave you the effort. I just really loved him. I think Anthony Parker was great for it. I think he played 3 or 4 years here. Phenomenal shooter. Made the playoffs, I think, 2 or 3 times with those Chris Bosh Raptors. Fit really well in that team. That's exactly what they needed. Starting shooting guard. Give me Anthony Parker as the best signing there. One of the better signings for the Raptors.
My only problem, I have a tough time picking a guy whose sister is better than him in basketball.
Look, I'm not mad at that. I'm not mad at that. I hear you.
For those that don't know, Candace Parker, she can ball. I question who's better, Candace Parker or Anthony Parker, and I question who's better, Cheryl, over 100 points in a game, Miller or Reggie Miller. I'm just saying. She scored, not like Wilt, she scored 100 points, over 100 points, 102, I want to say, in a game that was videotaped. So we know she did it. We could see that she did it. It's factual. So obviously mine, undrafted, came off. He was the sixth man of the Raptors championship season, became the leader of the team, still doing wonderful in Houston. Clearly, you sign an undrafted free agent in Fred VanVleet. That's got to be the best signing. Phenomenal leader, good shooter. I pick on him a little bit, but sometimes he just he's putting up shots that he maybe shouldn't put up. I want to pause for a second and just swish. If you have that yearbook, I want to see it. You are invited to come on this show, and I want you to flip through that yearbook because there are so many lies and exaggerations about Wilt Chamberlain. That we would definitely love to see what you got there.
In a museum. That yearbook could be worth something.
Should be in a museum. It probably is worth something too. Swish, hey, send it over to me, bud. Or the swish, my bad. I'm going to give you some more. Clutch points. I'll give them credit. They had a list of the Raptors' all-time best free agents. They gave Jared Jack. Coming in at number 7. This is their top solid 7. Remember Jared Jack?
Yep, solid point guard. Played for the Warriors too, did his thing.
Four year, they got him on a steal. 4-year, $19.5 million. That's actually pretty good. You're going to love this one. This is your kind of player. It's interesting. The player you picked, and Anthony Parker, went and played with the Cavs.
Yep.
And you said wonderful things about Anthony Parker, and everyone says that LeBron didn't have any help.
He regressed.
You know who else he had? This guy, Jamario Moon.
Woo, pogo stick. The pogo stick.
Pogo stick. Yeah. He should have been in the dunk off.
Oh, yeah.
So Jamario Moon came in at number 6. My favorite guy who's sitting on the bench right now, just rotting, Chris Boucher. They picked as number 5. Do you know where Chris Boucher played before?
In college?
No, before the Raptors. Most people think he's only played for the Raptors, but he played for another NBA team.
I got no clue.
He's on the Golden State Warriors.
Oh.
He played exactly He played exactly 1 minute in one game for the 17-18 championship Warriors.
He got the ring.
This was a surprise that they let him go, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Number four, they have Bismack Biyombo. Do you even remember him being on the Raptors?
Nah, I do remember him being on the Raptors. I mean, he's a backup big type of guy. You know, will rebound the ball well, play physical defense.
Shot blocking, rebounding. Every team needs a guy like that. Number three was your guy, Anthony Parker. Number two, I feel like there was a season that this guy hit 100% of his free throws.
Jose Calderon.
Jose, another one who went and played with LeBron in Cleveland. Man, he had an all-star cast, that guy.
They gave him to LeBron when they were all over the hill a little bit.
They gave LeBron everything he needed to succeed. Jeez. All right, so that's the best and worst. If you're watching this after the live, put it in the comments. Let us know who the best and worst. Even if it's not the Raptors, put in your best and worst free agent signings of any team. You probably didn't prepare for this. Best worst trade.
I mean, the worst trade is easily the Vince Carter for those two brothers. I can't remember the names. Yeah, a bag of nothing. Like, it was crazy. The trade Vince Carter for that is absolutely ridiculous. I know that's got to be the worst trade.
But was it a bad trade?
Like, I get the situation. Vince wanted out. You know, he kind of quote unquote gave up on the team. You know, he wasn't performing obviously at the level we all know he could, but you're still getting more than that for Vince Carter. The league still knew the player he could be.
Let me throw this out there for you. Mm-hmm. Let me throw this out there for you. Because it ended up being the worst, but let me throw this out. One, did you know that the original trade was supposed to be Vince and Antonio Davis to Dallas for Dirk and Steve Nash, and the Raptors said no?
See, now you just want me to find me a bridge. We jumping off. That's crazy. See, that's something I can get with. Came Dirk and Nash? And Nash probably would have stayed and became the MVP here. He would have been happy as a Canadian playing for, you know,
home. And Dirk's an international guy.
Europeans love Toronto. Yep. Oh, that would. Oh, my. And the Raptors said no? Why? The
Raptors said no. I have no idea, because they thought this trade was better. And if you think about this trade, what the trade was supposed to be was Aaron Williams, Eric Williams, and Alonzo Mourning, and two first round draft picks. Mm-hmm. If Alonzo stays, I don't think it's a, I think the Dirk and Nash one is still better, but it's not a horrible trade if Alonzo stays and plays, because we saw what he did.
Alonzo at the time.
Alonzo went back to Miami. From New Jersey. Was he in his 30s?
Yeah, I want to say it was in his 30s. Because he came in early 90s, no?
No, Zoe, I want to say mid.
Mid-90s?
Mid-90s, but what he did in Miami after was, so it, he was 30, yeah, he was 30, he was 33.
Oh, it's 33.
So he still plays 4 years in Miami.
He's giving you single digits.
And, you know, yeah, his best days were past him too. So maybe it makes it better. I still think the Nash.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking about. Nash, whoever the GM at the time, I can't remember his name, whoever he is, let's get him on the show.
Len Grunwald.
Okay, Len Grunwald. If we could find him fluent, give him a message call, we need to ask him, why did you say no to Steve Nash and Dirk? That's crazy.
When we finish this, that's going to be the first call that I make, to have him come on and explain his damn self for that 100%. Nasty trade that he turned, at least that he turned out. Mm. So that's what I'm saying. You thought you were getting Alonzo Mourning too. Mm-hmm. But I think they made him, I think they rushed to get rid of him because, you know, I'm not dunking anymore. I want out. Mm-hmm. And the worst part is, all they had to do was give Michelle Carter, wonderful, wonderful woman, by the way. We interviewed her and Shaq's mom on Mother's Day last year. Yeah. She's fantastic. All they had to do was give her a parking spot and it would have been fine. So that I agree, that's probably the worst trade. Mm. Is the best trade also an easy answer?
I think it's probably the Kawhi trade, because, you know, he won the championship. Gotta give it to that.
Yeah, that one gets it for sure. All right. So we got about 15, 20 minutes left. Let's go. Even if there's some duplicate players, that's fine. But give me your and why all-time NBA, all-time Raptors starting five.
All-time Raptors starting five.
This is the best five. This is an actual lineup that you'd want to put on the court.
I got you. We're going Kyle Lowry at the one. Brought us a championship. Hit open threes. Decent, good playmaker. It's a good playmaker. Get his teammates involved. Good leader. Kyle right at the one. I think that's a lock. Probably going to agree there. At the two, give me Vince Carter at the two. To me, the most iconic Raptor at all time. At his best, we're talking peak as a Raptor. Probably has the second highest single individual season peak next to Kawhi Leonard. So give me Vince Carter there. He had a 2-3 year stretch where he was really the conversation with Kobe Bryant, you know, Allen Iverson as the best guards in the league. So give me Vince Carter there. At the three, give me Tracy McGrady. 6'7", super athletic. I know he wasn't the Tracy McGrady in Orlando that he became, but still a guy who's going to play, you know, quality defense, attack the rim, finish at the rim. Tracy McGrady at the three. At the four, give me Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard at the four. We're playing a little bit of the small ball NBA here. Great defender. We saw what he did in the playoffs there. An all-time great playoff performance. Hit the three ball, mid-range, has it all offensively. Him at the four. And at the five, we're playing Chris Bosh at the five. Getting you the rebounds. We saw what he did with the Miami Heat playing the five. Blocking shots, playing defense. Doesn't need a ball in his hands. He's okay giving you 0 points in a game, but still being, you know, but still contributing to a championship, So Chris Bosh at the five there. That's my starting five. I'm sorry, DeRozan. You're great. You're probably my sixth man off the bench, but give me that five.
So here's the my issue with your five. You took Tracy McGrady. Mm-hmm. And I think why you made a mistake there is you took Tracy McGrady based on what he did in Orlando. And you can't have what he did in Orlando. You have to be who they were here. Because I could, if it was what they did at their peak,
team, I hear you.
Get a king at team at the center, but you're not because so that's the only one where I think you made a mistake. And I'll give you mine because it varies. So I've got Damon Stoudemire at the one.
Okay.
Because we forget Damon Stoudemire came in rookie of the year, averaged 20-9 for his first two seasons in Toronto. That's something Kyle Lowry has never done. He was quicker than Kyle Lowry, and he was a better distributor than Kyle Lowry. He was a more efficient shooter than Kyle Lowry. His years in Toronto.
Gotcha. Okay.
So I got Mighty Mouse at the one. It's a lock at Vince at the two. And DeMar played the two here, unfortunately for DeMar. We got Vince at the two. And then I got Kawhi at the three, his natural position at the three. For obvious reasons, right? MVP. He's the only MVP caliber player we've ever had here. So he goes in at the three. This is where I struggled. Because I was like, there's a couple of guys I wanted to put in here, most notably Jean Tabac, but he's not going to make the list, unfortunately. Y'all don't even know Jean Tabac.
That's a name that went over my head.
Yeah, Jean Tabac, go look him up. He was not good, but I think he was the Raptors' first center ever, like their first season. But no, so I'm going to go with it's really two fours playing the 4-5. But I like defensive and rebounding, but I'm going to get scoring two from one of them. So I'm going to go Chris Bosh at the four and Antonio Davis at the five, because Antonio Davis at the five is so hilarious because when it happened and people don't remember this, we had, we traded a draft pick, Danny Granger, to Indiana on draft night for Antonio Davis. And Danny Granger turned out to be pretty good until, unfortunately, his very short career because of an injury. Yeah. But people forget how... Antonio Davis was playing an undersized 6'9", 6'10 probably closer to 6'9", center. And they were like, oh, he's undersized. He's undersized. How is he going to compete, you know, against Shaq and da, da, da. But you know what? He was strong as hell.
That's a big dude. Yeah, I remember his shoulders. Yeah, he had grown man shoulders.
And the thing that's funny is he did just fine against those centers. But if he was, again, if I'm picking the team for today's NBA, he's actually what centers are now, right? The average center has actually come down to about 6'9", 6'10", is the average. So he would be just fine running the floor and banging with all the centers of today, because he was strong enough to go against the bigger dudes. So now I've got in the middle, I've got Vince, Kawhi, and Bosch. There's my scoring. Mm-hmm. I got scoring actually. I got 20 a game from Damon Stoudemire too. But he's right. He was like the first Trae Young. I want to say
first Trae Young.
He was putting up points. He was shooting. And he was getting his almost double digits assists. Mm-hmm. But if I got that core of Vince, Kawhi, and Bosch, I've got more than enough scoring. And then I got the defense of, again, Kawhi, Shabla. Miami doesn't go to game seven if Bosch doesn't get that block, right? We remember.
Yeah, it's crucial.
LeBron misses the three. Who gets the rebound?
Chris Bosch.
Kicks it out to Ray Allen. Ray Allen hits the three. They come back down the court. Who blocks it to force game seven? It's Chris Bosh in the corner. So I got Chris Bosh, Kawhi Leonard, and Antonio Davis. The other beauty of this is, and so they're not going to let Vince, they're going to force him to play some defense too. So I'm even though we're undersized at the point guard, I think I like my chances.
Push back on Kyle Lowry. Still gave you a season of 21-6. He has better shooting splits, but obviously relative to the era at that time, the numbers were lower. So I'd have to look at that with Stoudemire, the relative to the era situation with him. And I like T-Mac just because, again, it's a young guy who's cutting to the basket. He's going to finish. At that time, West playing defense too with the Raptors.
At the small forward position, are you taking Raptors? And it was only his first three seasons in the league. Mm-hmm. Are you taking Raptors, Tracy McGrady, or Kawhi Leonard?
Kawhi's at my four, though. So I'll take the Tracy over Antonio Davis. I understand Antonio's actually loved. Did he make an All-Star team? He did make an All-Star team, right? He did make an All-Star team.
A well-deserved All-Star team.
Yeah, I'll give it to him.
As did Toronto's own Jamal McGlure. I saw him actually at the Raptors game against Dallas the other night. Looking good, Jamal.
Do you think we might have like the worst starting five in the NBA of all time? Looking at the name, think of other teams. I'm like, damn.
Listen, here's the thing. We only have 30 years. Right? Like, so if you said 30 years of most teams, like if you go with the Bulls, check this out. Go with the Bulls from 95 until today. Mm-hmm. Okay, you're gonna have Jordan. But it's older Jordan. You're going to have older, broken down, only played 44 games in 98 Pippen. You get that one season of Derrick Rose. Mm-hmm. But who are their power forwards and centers? When you take away Gilmore from the 70s, there's really no center.
It might be Vucevic, Eddie Curry.
Yeah, it's
rough.
Look, that one still has Jordan, so you're fine. Let's look at the teams that were created. The Grizzlies. Charlotte?
Or Grizzlies, yeah, Grizzlies.
Would the Grizzlies have a good starting five?
The Grizzlies, Charlotte. The Grizzlies would have Marc Gasol. He played for us too, I guess. Z-Bo. That's true. The Grizzlies are kind of rough too. Mike Conley would be their point guard? Or maybe Ja Morant at this point. Probably Ja Morant.
What about Minnesota?
Kevin Garnett. Garnett, that fall off. You may be right. There's some teams. You're right. Maybe I was thinking too much of, the Celtics, Lakers, and all them. But that Minnesota team would be pretty.
Yeah, of course. If you listen, Celtics, Lakers, Knicks, those teams that have been around since 1947, sure. Miami, if it wasn't for that 4-year stretch,
with LeBron and them boys,
when LeBron and them guys, it's not that good. The Clippers have had talent. That's the problem with the Clippers. They've always had talent. Like you'll say names, and you'll be like, wow, they'd still probably lose.
That's true. But the names, though, I think Elton Brand, Buckets.
Jersey, New Jersey.
Oh, they probably have Vince Carter in there. J. Kidd.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who was before that era, before that Richard Jefferson, Jay Kidd era in New
Keith
Jersey?
Keith Van Horn.
Ooh, Keith. Yeah, okay. It is kind of rough, again,
you might say, well, Brooklyn, and then you got Kevin Durant, Kyrie. Okay, fine. Yeah, yeah. But as the New Jersey Nets. So I think there's teams. I don't think Portland has a great starting five all time.
That's true. You throw Clyde in there. Name?
Bill Walton.
Yeah, Bill Walton. Probably throw Rasheed in there.
Rasheed Wallace. Like, it's good.
They got some names. Yeah, but we could compete. We compete. I hear you. There's not a lot. Yeah, you're right. There's definitely teams.
Like, listen, if there's three tiers, like 1 to 10, 11 to 20, 21 to 30, we're in the bottom tier. We're in the bottom tier, but there's a conversation in that bottom tier. There's a conversation. Okay. We're not going to be, you know, the top tier. If we're doing a tier list, the top tier is, you know, Lakers.
Yeah.
Lakers.
The free agent signing one, we might be the third tier too. The best free agent signings.
Oh, we're dead last in free because no last. One. We've already established our best free agent signing was an undrafted point guard.
Yeah, that's tough. That's
the best free agent signing ever was an undrafted point guard. That's you know, that's
a, and we still won a championship before Portland, Charlotte, all these teams.
I'm just trying to think.
It's sad. The names that we have to sign. Hey, I do think it will get better. Like, I feel like it has to get better. Got really nowhere else to go but up.
I know exactly how to make it better.
What we
doing? You want to hear how to make it better?
What we doing?
All right, check this out. I don't know if you know this. NBA teams, or at least the Raptors, we're speaking specifically, have to pay all their players in American dollars. So we're already, the revenue we bring in is in Canadian, and then we got to pay out in U.S. dollars. So we're already at a disadvantage.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know this too. Do you know that everywhere you go, everywhere an NBA player goes, they basically say, okay, 82 games, you played two games here, so you have to pay tax.
Pay tax in each state. Yeah.
So this is make me a politician, make me, you know, whatever, of Ontario, Prime Minister of Canada, whatever. This is what I do. The sports teams get a tax exemption for their players.
I'm not mad at that. I'm not mad at that. So that Canadian tax, it's avoided for players.
So players pay zero tax.
That might be political suicide. Because you know how that's going to be spun. Giving millionaires a tax, you know, a tax exemption while we have single mothers and fathers here struggling to put food.
Absolutely. No problem. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take the money that they should have paid and say, okay, this is how much money it is. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to put it back into the people's pockets through something else because we have so much wasted money. I'm going to take it out of the military. What do we need a military for?
We're just going to depend on the United States to keep protecting our borders.
Or our borders from who? From them?
No, I'm saying,
they're the only border that we have.
That's true. Yeah, it's only them. From other countries flying over and doing something crazy. The only reason,
Who hates Canada?
Canada is loved. But lately, we might be making some enemies because we do be siding with the U.S. in a lot of situations with other countries.
So Big Brother, you're gonna go picking up fights. You better protect me, Big Brother.
That's true. No, that's what happens. I mean, 100%. The U.S. doesn't want problems in a country.
What does every smart American do when they go backpacking through Europe? Do you know this?
Do they say they're Canadian?
Not only do they say they're Canadian, they sew a Canadian flag onto their backpack.
Treated
so much better. It doesn't have to necessarily be from the military. It could be from other places. Yeah. My point is. That's the biggest concern is that our tax, and it's fair. It's a fair assessment that our tax is high. But one, there needs to be we don't do enough education because what we tax players is very similar to what the California teams get taxed.
Yeah, I was looking at it too, how their breakdown. It's not that different.
You need to show the chart and say, hey, and here's the beauty. And then it's just education. So I'm going to still give him a tax break, but let's say the tax break's off the table for a second. Here's the breakdown of what you get taxed in every place, okay? Mm-hmm. However, and we're going to be the highest. I get that. We're going to be at the top of the list, but California's going to be really close. Mm-hmm. However, what you do is you say, but take that American dollars that you just got paid and turn it into Canadian dollars because of the buying power. You just got a 35% raise because the American dollar is worth 32 whatever cent, right? You're getting that. They don't educate them on that. So if you want to buy a house, right? You see a house in here and you're like, oh, it's $1 million. That's only 750 US dollars. That's only 700,000 US dollars. And they're like, oh, well, that's, you know what? Versus living in LA, yep, where you got to pay 2 million US for the mm-hmm. same house. You know what? That's all it is. It's education. Hey, you know, I remember, how much time we got? We got 5 minutes left. What's his name? Lou Williams.
Yep.
Lou Williams saying, I had a $5,000 phone bill calling my friends in the US. Canada sucks. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, dummy. That's because you don't have someone who greets you and says, just so you know, here's your Rogers plan. It's $15 extra a month and you have unlimited calling and texting to the US.
Simple fix. I hear you.
Simple fix. It's education. That's what they need, is that person to bring them in and say, hey, you just signed a $10 million deal. I don't know if you're aware, because you're going to be living in Canada most of the year, that is actually 13.5 million in Canadian dollars that you're going to be able to spend. Oh, okay. So when you look at the tab, you know, and then I say, hey, and you're going to get a tax. Hey, you're going to get a tax break too. You're going to get a tax break too. Now, if it's really about money, because I don't think it is, if it's really about money, there's that hurdle's gone. But I don't think it's about money. I think free agents don't sign here because they just don't understand. They think Canada's a different country. And it's a different country. It's like going, you know, I don't know where. That's why I laugh at when they say, oh, we're going to expand into Mexico. Mexico City is going to get a team.
No one's going there. They're not coming here.
You think a player that won't come to Toronto, a country that speaks English,
yeah,
all the same fast food places, all the same restaurants, all the same stores, all that stuff, is going to go to a country where there's violence, murder, at a higher, much higher rate than here.
Cartel, yeah.
Where they don't speak English? Hmm. Are you like, no one's going to, you want to talk about bad free agents? No one's signing to go there.
100%. I think they wanted, did they have Europe, France too for a bit, or tried to get a team in London? There's no way. I just don't think that works.
People travel. They complain. Doc Rivers is complaining about travel from Indiana to Milwaukee. You think he's going to want to fly to France?
Yeah, no, that's not going to work.
Out of here, man. All right, final Carter effect words before we bounce.
Final words. Well, hey, we saw what happened this week. LeBron James, 40,000 career points. I know
this has nothing to do with the Raptors.
It's okay, man. You know why I got to do with the Raptors? Because the Raptors should draft his son Bronny, get LeBron James to come to Toronto, and we're gonna be championship contenders. We got LeBron James, Scottie Barnes. You know what he's gonna bring to? Free agents. Free agents want to play with LeBron. He might be
They ran to Cleveland.
I mean, shoot, they got a couple. I mean, Cleveland, that's Cleveland. Toronto's a little more excited than Cleveland. Toronto more excited than Cleveland. Come on now, that's Cleveland. That city's dead. Toronto got a little bit of a nightlife. We got a little bit of pizzazz to us.
But no one went there to play. You want to talk about bad free agents? Go to Cleveland. Mm-hmm. Actually, you want to talk about bad rosters? Take out LeBron and then you put a starting five in Cleveland.
No, I hear you. It's rough. It's rough. But I do think Toronto is more, especially today. I do think the whole stigma of Toronto not being that city, it's getting better, especially in 2024. But you've been LeBron right here.
Right. LeBron took 21 years to score 40K, FYI, in 11 full seasons in Chicago. Michael Jordan averaged 2,582 points for those 11 full seasons he played in Chicago. That would give him 40K in 15 and a half years.
That's cute, but he did it. He didn't take care of his body. He didn't put in the work.